Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
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 So, we return. Yes, we took a week off. Didn't really have much to talk about last week, so it was just kind of better that we just kind of skipped it. So this week, we have some fun and we have some not so fun. The not so fun is we lost our Celebrity Jeopardy people this week.
Well, yes. Yeah, technically you're right. You're not wrong. Yes. Sean Connery, who was Celebrity Jeopardy on various things, and obviously the host of Jeopardy, Alex Trebek, have both passed away. I actually wrote up an article on Alex on the website at geekcastradio.com. You guys can head over there to check it out. What I remember about watching Jeopardy as a kid is my mom and I would always watch it. It would help me, like, whatever clues, even though I may not have gotten the right answer, I was still learning from watching the show, from learning what the right answer is. And, it would help me in school, so I would watch Jeopardy every night. I used to watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune with my grandmother all the time. It's so funny. It's not funny, but it's ironic. 4 months ago, Alex released his memoir, and I grabbed the audiobook and I listened to it, and I'm like, oh, man, everybody needs to hear this. It's so... he narrates it, but also it's mainly Ken Jennings that narrates it, but Alex comes in on certain parts. Because, he's getting older, and obviously everyone knows he announced he had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. It's just really sad. And I know I read somewhere, I don't remember what the source was, I remember reading somewhere that the Jeopardy EPs have said that Alex's final show will be on Christmas Day. They have not chosen a replacement yet, so please, all you websites that are trying to figure out who the replacement's going to be, stop. Just let them come to whatever they're going to come to. Are there plenty of people I wish would host it? Sure. Between Ken Jennings and James Holzhauer and Austin Rogers, which are three major Jeopardy contestants that I followed. And there are plenty of other people out there that could do it, but right now I think we need to mourn the man's loss and not worry about how the show is going to go on.
Well, and it's not like they can't do reruns for the time being.
True. They do that all the time. Like, there's, Jeopardy goes on, like, summer break, and they'll show, like, old teacher tournaments or Tournament of Champions, or hell, they might rerun the Greatest of All Time tournament between Ken, Alex, and Ken, James, and Brad. So there's that. You never know what they're going to do.
And it's not like they won't find the right host for that.
Right.
I just hope that it's not, they don't make it stupid. Because there are some shows that they've changed and have gotten worse.
Yeah.
With a newer rendition.
Yeah, I told Karen, I said, you know what, I will watch one episode of whoever they get for the new host, and then I probably won't watch anymore. Jeopardy, for me, because it came out in 84 when I was 4 years old, but at least it didn't. I rephrased that so people, oh my god, no, it's all, yes, I know. Jeopardy was in the 60s as well, but the Alex Trebek version started in 1984. So ever since I was 4 years old, up until now, throughout most of my life, I've watched Jeopardy every night, whomever I'm with or whatever, whatever. And there have been times that I've dropped off on it where I haven't watched lately in the last, 10, 15 years or so. But I always knew I could go back to it if I wanted to. And when I met Karen, she had been watching her whole life as well, and she still watches on a nightly basis kind of thing. And we still watch it every now and then. I think we currently have 26 episodes on our DVR that we haven't watched yet, only because we just haven't watched them yet. I'm only bringing this up because I think this is the coolest way to have a Alex Trebek memento. Funko released two Alex Trebek pops last year, or earlier this year, I think, and I have them both. One is of him without his mustache and his older, like the current style that he has, with a Jeopardy clue in his hand. The other one is of the original 80s with the dark grayer hair, you know, black
the
hair.
Mustache.
With the mustache, with a different Jeopardy color clue. So, absolutely love that Funko did that. But yeah, it's very, very sad that he is no longer with us. Same thing with Sean Connery. Like, everybody points to Bond and all that and everything else. The first four movies I think of when I think of Sean Connery: Dragonheart.
Oh yeah, I forget he was the dragon.
Yeah, he was Drago. Dragonheart. God, now I'm blanking on them. God, you'd think I would remember this, even though I just posted about it like a week ago or so.
He was in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yep, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
He was in the, was it Finding Forrester or something?
Yep,
or?
That's one of my other favorites. Dragonheart, Finding Forrester, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And what was that fourth film? I don't remember off the top of my head.
Was he in, what, The Fugitive or something else?
The Rock. He was in The Rock.
That's what it was.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff. It was so cool when he popped up as other things. Here, oh, that's what it was. My four favorites were Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Finding Forrester, Dragonheart, and First Knight. First Knight, for those that don't remember it, was a 90s movie. He played King Arthur, Richard Gere was Lancelot, and Julia Ormond was Guinevere.
Nice.
Yeah, very cool. So, yes, yes. But they will both be missed, and for some odd reason on my IMDb app, they're like, hey, why don't you check out IMDb TV? It's free. And I'm like, oh, really? It's free? Okay. And it's free with ads, obviously, and that's fine. Because I don't really care either way. And they're like, oh, guess what? You can watch Finding Forrester on our thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'll watch Finding Forrester on your thing. So I'll watch that eventually. And, yeah. Very, very cool. Very sad to see Sean Connery and Alex Trebek go.
Yeah, it's Connery was one of my favorite old time actors, and Jeopardy actually was one of the few trivia shows I didn't mind watching because I like to see how dumb I am. not to say that I don't answer the questions right. Because, like, I was watching, kind of segueing a little bit into something I picked up the other day. I was on Hulu, and I noticed that they revived The Weakest Link.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't watch it much when it was on the original run.
Right.
And I watched, like, they had a Star Trek run of it one time when it was all, like, Trek trivia. And they had actors from the show. And,
right.
I'll have to track that one down sometime and watch it again. But they had the original host, and you know, where she's like, "You are the weakest link. Goodbye." Yep. Like really quickly, and it was just like super played out and stupid, but it was funny. So like now, like they've had another BBC host, they've had an American host. It kind of fizzled out with both. Jane Lynch is actually hosting it now, and she's got the comedic chops to kind of pull it off, because in between people getting booted out, like she does the introduction where everybody's like, I'm so and so and I'm this and blah blah blah, and she's like, yeah, I kind of dozed off there, nobody cares, and then she moves on. She moves on, starts asking the questions, and then like ridicules them when they don't get enough money banked, and then and then uses whatever their profession is to make a joke about something to get them off the stage.
Oh wow.
And it's really funny because like there's a guy that's like a singing waiter or something, and he tried to butt in, and he's like, when he got voted off, he's like, so I just got served, and she says, hey, I do the jokes here. Cool. But no, I mean, it was funny. I watched a couple of them because I knew about half the questions that were asked. Mm-hmm. And then the other half, I'm like, I have no clue. So it was really good, actually. And I enjoyed it. But I like watching those shows because then I remember the answer when it comes up again. But yeah, it was quite funny, actually. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be a totally different landscape. It's like, you know, The Price is Right losing Bob Barker.
Mm-hmm. Although I gotta say, Drew Carey does a
really good job at it. He does fit that aesthetic and that style really well, especially since he had the massive weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of just he kind of fits that look now.
Yep.
That Bob Barker kind of had, and so. Yeah. I don't know. I think he does really well with that show, too. But there's not a lot of shows that get revived with a new host or continue with a new host that stick pretty close to the original.
Yeah. I forget which show it is. I don't think it's a revived show. It's some new show, but Chris Hardwick hosts it. And Karen watches it every now and then, and I'm like,
I thought they canceled him a while ago.
They were supposed to, but
yeah, evidently didn't stick. Hollywood doesn't eat their own for very long. So yeah, I don't know. I quit caring about the guy when Nerdist turned to be a kind of a crap factory.
Yeah,
you know, it pumps out crap, and you know, mm-hmm.
Yep,
so, yeah, kind of like IGN.
Oh Lord, here we go.
Not to say we don't put out our own garbage too, but
oh please, there are plenty of episodes recently within the last year that I suck.
What's funny is a lot of our content that gets published to YouTube gets flagged.
Oh no, what does it get flagged for?
Because you know YouTube has that stupid new rule about if it's not child safe.
Oh, yeah, that's why I don't post to YouTube.
Well, I do because it's additional, you know, reviews and posts and whatnot. But, yeah, I find it interesting anyway. Most modern things get flagged pretty badly just because, YouTube has these laws. We're not allowed to do this anymore. We're not allowed to do this. We're not allowed to do this. Yeah, so.
Yep, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand it. They're trying to protect children and whatever, but, like, there are just some things that aren't flagged, and it's like, really? You're not going to flag that? You're not going to this? You're not going to that? I remember when it was first announced about the whole thing, and like, I went through my entire channel to make sure everything was, you know, flagged not for kids. Because, I mean, I don't do risque YouTube content, and that's, again, no. That's why I'm so glad about how I'm not YouTube famous at all. Not that I want to be famous at all ever, but it's nice to be noticed, and thank you to those who do notice and do watch and do listen and whatever else. But, yeah, no, I have... I'm so... like, I see so many stressful things with YouTube. And the stuff that people have to deal with because of it. It's just crazy.
Yeah, we, yeah, it's just funny and some of the things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're on the crap train, podcasting.
Wait a minute! I just came back. I'm supposed to save it from the shit storm. Come on now.
It doesn't work that way.
Don't you know? Wait, yeah. Like, I'm the fucking great one. Don't you get it?
Yeah. Nobody cares what you think, though.
Ain't that the dang truth? You got that right.
Wondery, for those that are unaware, Wondery CEO, who built a podcasting powerhouse, vows to fight federal corruption charges. If you don't know who he is, it's Hernan Lopez. Mm-hmm. He's a former TV executive, he believed, basically his idea for the startup was, is he heard like the true crime podcast Serial and kind of got involved. And this is 4 years after its launch, Wondery has grown into one of the nation's largest podcast publishers, drawing acclaim for producing compelling audio programs based on real life stories. Some of them have even been developed into TV shows. What's funny is the business is at a crossroads as it's exploring a possible sale during a period of rapid consolidation in the podcast industry. And if you've not been watching the podcast industry, it seems like everything is getting bought up. I hate when articles make you pay to read them.
Yeah, that's silly.
Yeah, so Spotify is buying up crap left and right. So that being said, it's not a surprise that they're trying to sell this. But Lopez, the CEO of the company, is also facing a legal battle that has clouded basically the future of that company, because he's among two former Fox TV executives charged with money laundering and wire fraud. Over alleged bribes involving broadcasting rights to the World Cup and other high-profile soccer tournaments. He has pleaded not guilty to the charges filed in March. But, he thinks that he'll be fine if he ever goes before a jury, but hard to say. They said that they've not changed his role and he's not stepping down. It clouded a lot of people's judgment when he was trying to be a part of the indie podcast organization. I forget what the name of it is at present, but he was trying to, him and a bunch of other radio people were trying to be seated on the throne, everybody was like, no, not interested until he was not there. Between Spotify, iHeartMedia, and SiriusXM buying podcast businesses to beef up their platforms. Like, for instance, Spotify bought Gimlet. A multitude of other things. And so I'm not a big fan of the consolidation monkey.
Yeah, that's not good.
Especially one of them being iHeartMedia.
Yeah.
I realize that this is the funny thing. They follow me on Twitter. iHeartRadio, iHeartMedia, whatever. Mm-hmm. They follow me on Twitter. I don't say nice things about them very often.
and yet they still follow you.
Yes. But it's the funny thing I find in that whole scenario is they always tout to be the first or the best or the biggest or the number one in everything when it comes to podcasting.
Right.
And they're not.
They're not. Yeah, no, they're not.
And so even, they say that iHeartMedia is positioned as number one, America's number one commercial podcast publisher. Debatable, but they also say they're America's number one audio company. So that, again, debatable.
Mm-hmm.
But on October 23rd, they they bought or acquired VoxNest.
Okay.
Which, you know, they have the best in class provider of podcast analytics, enterprise publishing tools, programmatic integration, targeting ads. And then it says through VoxNest, they'll be able to provide podcast advertisers with additional targetable inventory at scale by allowing the effective and efficient monetization across an entire range of podcast inventory, which they basically bought the access to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not familiar with what VoxNest is, they own Spreaker and Blog Talk Radio. They're the parent company. Because last year, they formed... it was last year or the year before, Spreaker and Blog Talk Radio, because they're owned by the same people.
Right, Blog Talk merged.
Well, Blog Talk got bought out by Spreaker. And then they formed a parent company called VoxNest, and then it still operates independently. And then... So they have all their publisher solutions and advertising and everything else in that. And then now iHeartMedia has them.
Oh,
and
lovely.
I can't stand the CEO of iHeartMedia because he's a pompous fool. And, I mean, he's a smart, shrewd businessman, but he's a fool as far as like, oh, we're number one. We're the best. We're the blah, blah, blah. It's like, if you were the best, why are you laying off so many people? Like, they announced this stuff, and then I hear, like, the very next day, oh, they're having mass layoffs. And it's like, what is your problem? Like, if you're buying a company or acquiring it, it's like, where... Like, I'm like, I need to have other options in case something goes belly up with Spreaker.
Yeah, just in case, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I am actively looking because I don't know...
Right.
The health of the network with iHeart in charge. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although that could explain why Spreaker's like, oh, you have to put 5 ads for.
That probably is true. That's
probably
actually
where it came from. Because, iHeartMedia is a greedy, money hungry company, and Spreaker wasn't before.
Yeah. It's just, it's all kinds of craziness. Everything is changing, and you don't know. Like, I'm just getting back into the whole podcasting thing, and I feel like I have podcast amnesia. So, and I'm probably going to end up writing a whole article on podcast amnesia, but 3 years ago, in the middle of our Phineas and Ferb Review podcast organization without a cool acronym, we, Michael Wilson and I, were doing shows daily, not recording them, but we were pre-recording them, but I was releasing them daily, because the whole point of me doing a Phineas and Ferb podcast is there were 104 days of summer, 104 episodes, daily releases, and we could get our Phineas and Ferb review show done. Well, at some point, life happened, I got married, I got divorced, and whatever. So episode 60, which is our Phineas and Ferb season 2 countdown episode, has been languishing in the editing bay for 3 years. I have just now, even though that episode has been the bane of my existence to edit, I spent the last week and a half fixing everything in that episode. The only thing Michael and I have to do now is record a new intro and outro for it, because the damn thing is 3 years old. I'm not releasing it without recording a primer for people. But yeah, I have, like, I've forgotten so, because I haven't edited in a year. Like, I almost forgot how to use the razor in Audition. Like, literally. I'm like, which button is it? Oh, it's this one over here. Oh, don't do that. Oh, don't do... Like, oh my god. It's just... It's crazy. So everything is... And people are like, oh, well, the lockdown and the virus and the this and the that and the whatever. You know what? A podcast, at least for me specifically, as a podcast editor, I'm doing the same thing I would be doing if we weren't on lockdown. But honestly, I miss lockdown, because it seems like the world is trying to get back to that fast-paced, everything must change on a daily basis, on an hourly or minute-by-minute basis. And I just want to slow down. Even though I'm speeding back up on my podcast stuff because I haven't done it in so long. But, like, the rest of the stuff, it's like, please, put on the brakes, people. So much change at once is not a good thing. Change is a good thing because you learn and you grow and everything else. But, like, so much at once, not good. The one good thing about the pandemic so far is I can pretty much tell that people have finally listened to the meme of, for the love of God, stop sharing links from We Got This Covered. Because I don't see WeGotThisCovered.com on a lot of stuff anymore.
Well, I think it's because people are just tired of seeing their crap pop up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... Yeah. a huge fan of theirs.
No. Hey, anyway, I don't want to go down that road. Yeah,
that's why I said just not a huge fan of theirs.
Yep.
Leave it at that.
what are we watching? You mentioned all the game show stuff. What the heck am I watching? The Voice is back on. I'm kind of watching that, paying attention to it slightly. Are there any TV shows that have been out or coming out that I'm excited about? I don't know. I keep checking Netflix's coming soon section to see if they have a new trailer for Earthrise, for Transformers War for Cybertron trilogy Earthrise.
Oh, so they're going to have another trailer?
I'm saying I keep looking to see it, because the thing with Netflix is if you go to their app, which I'm doing right now on my phone, and you go to their coming soon thing, it'll say, oh, coming Tuesday, oh, part one, coming December 4th, part that, you know, so it tells you when the things are going to be on the service. So I'm just kind of like, I scroll through here every other week or so now to see when we get a date for Transformers Earthrise for the next part of the War for Cybertron trilogy, and so far... nothing's popping up. I was hoping we would get Earthrise before the end of 2020, because we need something positive in 2020.
Yeah, we need something positive. I don't know what it is yet, but...
Yeah, I don't know either. I guess...
Animaniacs.
Yes, Animaniacs. I'm waiting for
that. That's right. That is something positive, and it's fun and it's zany to the max.
Yep.
Yes, I am looking forward to that. I know I brought it up last time, but yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool.
That's.
I understand that I'm perfectly fine with the characters that they're not allowing to be in it. Whatever. As much as I would love to see an updated version of Minerva Mink, and who's the other one that's not going to be there? There was another one that they said wasn't going to be there. But anyway, like...
For various reasons.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Yakko, Wacko, Dot, Pinky and the Brain. Good Feathers are going to be there, I think. I know what it was. It wasn't Animaniacs. It was Tiny Toons. Apparently Elmira's not going to be in the new Tiny Toons.
Really?
That's what I thought I saw that. I thought you pointed that out to me.
No.
When we were talking about it.
I did not know that.
I could be completely wrong. I don't know. I would have to look it up to see if it's actually factually correct, which it probably isn't, because, let's face it, I've got podcast rust, it's really, really itchy.
Tiny Toons, returning Tiny Toon University, two seasons, straight to series, and Cartoon Network and HBO Max, show will be set in Acme Luniversity, the institution where the Tiny Toons earn their Toon degrees, and the teaching staff's been getting laughs. Yeah. So this, of course, the Looney Tunes will be there. It doesn't say anything about no Elmira.
Like I said, I probably read it wrong or something. I just know that there's two characters from upcoming shows that are not going to be there because of reasons. I don't remember.
Interesting.
Yes. What else is going on? Yeah, so I'll tell you, man, like, not being able to sit at the desk and do the stuff and whatever for a year, it's really hard to sit at the desk and do the stuff. I'm really pacing myself here. At the same time, I'm like, gotta get it done, gotta get it done, gotta get it done. I guess it's like I always say, hopefully the audience will still be there when you get back.
Well, evidently they are.
Let's hope.
But, yeah, so, like I said, I've just been having fun watching old shows. Funny enough, my wife and I watched I Love Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's on Hulu. We were like, let's try this out. And then we were like, this isn't half bad. Yeah, and I get to start writing scripts for the program I produce now.
Sweet. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I just have to figure out what I'm going to write. So I'm looking towards old shows for inspiration.
That's awesome, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
All right, so I think that about rounds this episode out. Sorry if it was a little boring on this episode, but send us some suggestions on comments that you would like to hear on future episodes. So until next time, we've been
DFG and Mike
and Steve Megatron Phillips. Until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.